All right. I don't really like that mic anyhow. Jim's had a real problem. We've had to adjust his mic over and over these last few days with the class that he's teaching. Well, surprise. When I came this morning and saw that there were just a handful here, I thought they planned that. But the fact that it wasn't pre-announced makes me not feel quite as badly about the fact that we may have absentees this morning. I especially miss our college kids, and I was thinking the singing will just not be that good this morning, and I was wrong. You're fantastic singers, just as I thought Bob, and then I thought, no, you can't call him that, but that's the name I know him by. What do you do when you're going to speak to a group of people that you've spoken to for nearly 50 years, but you're only going to speak once a year maybe, or twice, depending on how many absentees we have in the list? All through the years, I never felt pressure about what I was going to speak, because I knew that I had next Sunday if something needed to come up, and the Sunday after that. But when you start thinking about, do you have anything worth saying for one time, it puts a lot of pressure on you. Jim's been teaching a class on grace. If you had to do that in 15 minutes, Jim, what would you do? So I decided what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring myself into an area where I continue to work, and hopefully two things can happen this morning. One of them is that those people who are going through the times of stress, because I do counseling regularly, may find some encouragement. And the other is that those who are not in times of stress may find the reason why they're not and help them to be encouraged also. The holiday season is tough for many people. I know that some of you out there are very aware of this. There's just nothing like being alone when everybody says, this is a wonderful family time. Or having someone say, I just love getting together with the family, but somebody special to you is not there anymore. And so it, by itself, tends to bring us to a place where we just feel bad. We feel badly. Michael Fortson would have corrected me on that. He told me I need to learn to put the L-Y on the words that I use. But the truth of the matter is, we're not called to be that way. Depression is common, but depression does not belong to us as children of God. Now, I'm not criticizing you if you're fighting those problems. I'm just telling you, there is an answer to it, and the answer is not in the pills you take. I'm not going to ask the hands of the people here who are taking pills this morning for anti-anxiety or for depression or something. It's been rather eye-opening to me to find that almost everyone who comes to me with depression tells me they're taking pills. And I say, are they working? And they say, well, I can't do without them. And I said, are they working? Well, I don't think I could make it if I didn't have them. And I say, are they working? If they are, why are you here in my office? Why are you coming to me? I'm not telling you to quit taking your pills today. Don't go off on that. I've been in enough trouble without that. But I am telling you that that isn't the solution. And there is a solution. The solution is one that was brought to us through the blessings and the glory of the sacrifice Savior that we talked about and celebrated this morning. This time of the year brings us to a remembrance of a number of things. I can remember when in the Church of Christ the word Christmas was hardly spoken. I was even shocked myself when I saw the first Christmas tree in this place here. It's because of the habits that I was raised with. I know that having nativity scenes was absolutely off base for anyone within the fellowship when I was younger. But all of those things are not important. Those were things of action and reaction about other problems. We're well aware that Christmas, the 25th of December, is probably not the day that Jesus was born, but it is the day we think about it. And thinking about it is so very important to us because we have to focus every once in a while We just have to stop and back up and take a look and say, okay, I need to refocus on where I am and what I'm doing. It isn't about the gifts or the trees or the decorations. It's not even about the family, the parties that we have, the fun that we have. It certainly is not about Santa Claus or snowmen or elves or reindeer. What we're called to do this season of the year is to remember one more time that the greatest thing that ever came into the world with the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, He came as God on earth. And I know we wrestle with that sometimes. We know how to say God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But He is God on earth. And He reveals to us God in a way that we can see and understand God that we can't quite grasp when we look at the stars or hear the thunder. Incidentally, if you, one of you in the audience didn't turn off your phone, leave it on. Because if we get another warning of tornadoes, I'll just tell you that the best place in this building is to go down straight out here and turn down between the classrooms. We studied it to find out where our best place is, and you can just be close to each other when the time comes. I'll also tell you that I looked at the radar just as that went off, and the major storm went to the east of us and went to the west of us, so God's opening it up for us right now. So if you're stressed, just relax for a little while. For just a few minutes today, I'd like for us to look at something that I think will let us hang on to maybe three or four thoughts that will make our life better if we can just go there. Envision with me, if you can, that it is a dark night. The weather is not foul, but most people are home in bed. And while most people are home in bed, some unusual things are taking place. And to a group of ragged, dirty, and smelly men, shepherds in the field by night, the annunciation of the greatest thing on earth comes. Why in the world shepherds in the field by night? Well, I could give you 100 different reasons that people suggest. I personally think it has to do with sheep and the Lamb of God coming into the world, but it may also have to do with the fact that God says, to the very least of these, I am their God, I am their Redeemer. Let me read to you. If I can see the book. One of the things different in my sermons is instead of being in 12-point outline, 12-point for the type, they're in 14 now. It helps a great deal more. And in the same region, there were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's the word. Now Mary knew she was having a child. Joseph knew it wasn't by him. There are all kinds of things that we might go back to and think of, but the fact of the matter is, this is when God says, I'm here, and I want you to be aware of it, and I want it to bring into your mind some things that will help your life to be better, not just because you know sin's forgiven, or not just because you know that prayer is answered, or not just because you know that fellowship is wonderful, but some specific things that He told the men in the field with the sheep. Do not be afraid. Oh my goodness. I can't tell you how many times I have been afraid. Many of you know that I'm claustrophobic. And all you have to do is put me in some place and say, don't move. And it doesn't matter how much space there is around, just telling me not to move begins to cause me trouble. I'm a lot better now than I used to be, but the fact is, I still am terrified of being restrained in small places. And my terrible dreams at night are going into a room, and as I turn, the door has gotten too small for me to get back out. And so I have to work at this do not be afraid thing. I've never seen an angel. I probably would be absolutely terrified. But I have enough trouble as it is. And yet the Scripture says to these men who are seeing an angel, they're going to see a host of heavenly beings. They are simple, common, everyday, perhaps among the lowest of the people in Israel. And he says, don't be afraid. And I kind of think if they can get by with that, I might try it myself. I might decide that one of the things I'm going to really do is when I face fear, and I will, is to know that the Lord God has come, has lived, died, and been resurrected for me, that I do not need to be afraid. He goes on to say, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David has been born to you a Savior. We'll get back to that Savior just a little bit later. Joy? I don't see any laughing going on out there, but I have felt rejoicing. And in some of these songs we've sung, I thought they were so appropriate. I was asked, what songs do you want me to lead this morning? And I said, whatever you like, because I think we get a little bit too formal here. And I like for us to let everybody who is going to take some part in this express part of who they are, as well as it just being who I might decide and what I want to do. Great joy. Can you remember great joy? Well, many of you can remember great joy at a birth. Now, during the birth, Mama was not having great joy. And if Daddy was anything like me, he was a nervous wreck. I'm very, very seldom out of control. But when Scotty was about to deliver our children, I had a great deal of anxiety. But when they were there, when it's over, when you hold them, that's as great a joy as I know, as far as this earthly thing is concerned. And I know that for others of you, you have different things that you rejoice in. One of the great joys that someone came to me with one time, I relate to so beautifully. He said, you know, I heard you talk about great joy. You know what the greatest joy in my life is? And I said, no. He said, it's the dog's tail wagging when I come home. I thought, you've got a limited life. That's all I can say. But I feel that. Without a dog right now, I feel lost, because when I come home, I want to see one. And we just haven't had one for a number of years now. Great joy is what you're called to. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He's pleased. Do you know peace? Oh, we are so anxious for peace in the world. All of us, you talk about great joy, just tell us that our children are coming home and aren't going to be fighting somewhere. We can't imagine a world at peace, because it just doesn't exist, not even in the Scriptures and the possibilities. But that's not the peace I'm talking about. Do you know peace? You remember what was read this morning. It's talking about somebody that everything wrong that you can imagine has happened to, and yet will I rejoice. It's a little hard for us to do that, isn't it? We are pretty well attached to circumstances around us. And to be able to rejoice, to be able to have confidence, to be able to trust God in hard times. Easy to trust God when everything's going well. God gave me this, God gave me that, God gave me something else. But you seldom ever hear somebody say, God gave me sorrow, God gave me pain, God gave me hardship. He may very well have, though. It may be part of what's necessary for you. I kind of feel like that when things are going wrong for me, It may fulfill that scripture which says God chastens those whom he loves. And so I get some strength out of that, thinking, he still loves me. He's just taken the belt to me for a day or two here, trying to get me to be the person I'm supposed to be. Peace is so resulting in all these other things being fulfilled. When we're at peace, we are not in fear. When we are in peace, we're able to have joy. And when all of this happens, you know what the result is in the scripture that we're reading from here? Listen to this. The shepherds, you know, went to see. Can you imagine that? You're in a stable. You got a kid that's born and been put in a manger. The animals are around. If there was no room in the inn, there's probably not much room in the stable either, because people did not all travel with automobiles parked in a parking lot. And so they brought their beasts of burden with them as they came. But you, as this ragged bunch of shepherds, come down out of the hills, having left your sheep behind, which is really, really unusual, but you come to see this thing the angels have announced. And it's really there. Whatever they expected to find, they were filled with the fulfillment of what had been promised to them when they saw this babe. And so they go back again, and it says, and the shepherds went back glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. Hey, that's where we're supposed to be. No fear, full of joy, full of peace. And what do? Praise God. Praise him in ways that everyone around you sees. Your life is different. They look and say, how can I be like that? And you say, there is an answer to that. That was given to us earlier this morning. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. That's what we need to be holding on to. If you're having trouble with depression, don't feel guilty about that. But know that there is a solution to it. If you're feeling great, don't feel proud of it. Know there was something that brought you there. When you come through all of these things, then when all of these have been matured in your life, there is something in the Old Testament that begins to speak to you in different ways from what it used to. In the hours when I am troubled, there is a passage I turn to. I preached on it many times from this pulpit. It's in Psalms 91. And it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. And he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark, and you will not be afraid of the terror by night or of the arrow that flies by day. Oh, I love that. In hours of darkness, I've quoted that to myself so many times. You will not be afraid of the terror by night. Night seems to be the time we have most of it, doesn't it? Or the arrow that flies by day. The passage that was read to you was a passage that I chose. If you want to keep it, it's in the bulletin article. I did not know when I wrote the article I was going to preach today, but those things were so much on my mind that I had to stay with them. Let me read it one more time, and then you take it home and read it to yourself. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit in the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet will I exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Well, none of us have experienced all of this, but we can know fearlessness, joy, and the exuberance of peace that causes us to be a blessing to the people around us. Let's stand and sing a song together.